I'm going to do everything I can to stay as strong as I can because I want to be vibrant even as I'm aging.
From Crossroads Media,
this is See Her Love, Season 11,
Episode Number 2.
Well, welcome to See Her Love, and I love today's topic, the wonder of being human, embracing who we are and where we are. And to help us navigate our ages, stages, decades, perimenopause, hot flashes, energy levels, thinning hair, legacy, and all the things, we have Anne Miranda, pastor, speaker, author with us. Welcome, Anne. Sandra Tadros Gurgis, wellness expert, pharmacist, and menopause certified practitioner. Yes, please, Sandra, welcome. Thank you for being here. Sunite Litchmore, registered psychotherapist and speaker. Welcome, Sunite.
Thank you.
Dr. Mary Lynn, psychologist, podcaster, and author. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thanks for having
us. All right. So we're representing many decades, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s. So we've got it all here. The wisdom, all the things. Let's start off. What are we loving about the decade that we're in? I think as women, where we're at, to start off with, what's the joy? What's surprised you about this decade? What's the good thing in this decade? Who wants to start?
Shall I start as the oldest?
Oh, wise one.
Hear my words. So I'm turning a significant number. I'm going to be 60 the end of this year. And it's been a time of reflection for sure. But what has really surprised me, because, you know, people talk about, oh, gosh, this is going and that's going. And we do talk a lot about aches and pains more. Mm-hmm. The thing that has really surprised me is I kind of like myself. And
I kind of like myself.
Yeah. And there's, I have let go mostly what people think about me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I don't care that much anymore. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but I'm not letting their opinions of me formulate how I act or respond. I'm working hard still to let go of people pleasing, performance and perfectionism.
Yes,
but I feel like I'm getting there.
Yeah.
So I can settle into being more of who I am. There's a greater sense of self-acceptance, which is very funny because there's a lot of things that I don't like about aging, but yet overall, I kind of like the stage I'm at.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love that. That's something to encouraging. It's something to celebrate.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're in the 60s tonight.
So similarly to Mary, like I just turned 40. And so again, I'm reflecting a lot on my 30s and reflecting on who I was when I turned 30 versus who I am now. Mm-hmm. And I think what surprised me the most is that the way that I embraced identities that were not mine. You know, like I thought I was a certain type of person when really those were my defense mechanisms, my protective self, my the things that helped me cope with everyday life. I thought that was my identity. And now as I look back, I'm like, that was not my identity. That was just a means to an end. And those things don't have a purpose or a place in my life anymore. And so kind of separating myself from who I thought I was and getting to know who I actually am, like getting to know the essence of my being is like the most exciting thing about turning 40.
Well, you look fabulous for 40. It's like 40 fabulous.
But I can relate to that because I found, as you guys know, I'm always pretty bubbly and engaging. And since I've been in my 40s, I'll be telling my friends, I'm like, no, I feel like more of an introvert. And they're like, what do you mean? Right? But I find that it's more exactly as you said. It's not that I'm not still loving to connect and to be there, but I think I'm honoring more the self-care. So I'll be like, I'll notice like, hey, I'm tired. My social battery's running low. I loved it, guys. You know, one more belly dance. And I'm out. I want to go home and read my book in the quiet, you know?
Okay, you're going to show the belly dance sometime later in the show.
Okay. It's not what you imagined it to be.
And I do it like workout
very
style.
Good exercise. Yeah. I was going to say, I bet you have a class on that. I think I relate to so much of this right now. I think some of the surprising factor is just being able to be me. It kind of sounds funny, but maybe there's something that happens like as we age, it's just shedding of all the things that we're not and then the things that we are clinging onto. At least that's what's happening right now.
It's kind of like we had this idealized self that we thought we had to be
based
on other people's opinions, social media and all of that. And then you realize it just kind of doesn't fit properly.
Exactly.
And then as you shed it, like you said, I love that word, you realize that the person emerging is actually more you, more real, more authentic, more, I can just be me. And that's what I mean by saying I kind of like myself.
Well, and that's what I feel like was I'm going into, well, I'm in my 50s, but I used to live in the words of grind, hustle, go. And now in my 50s, I'm like, no, slow down, self-care, reflect, restore, peace. Those seem to be the words and way that as I'm coming into this decade. And I think too, one of the things that surprised me or what I have loved about this moment is that I've actually had a lot of time sitting on this side to look at my life and go, wow, I need to celebrate how far I've come. I am not the same woman that I was when I was 20s, 30s, 40s. And I think a sense of celebration and honoring me as Melinda, that I made it. I made some really bad decisions and I also made really good decisions to get me where I am. And so I think that's the thing. And also I think what I really love about this decade is the deep friendships I have. I think sitting at this time, the decades and years of being intentional about pouring into my girlfriends and my friendships, I am now reaping and seeing the reward of deeply trusted, have your back, your tribe girls. And I think that's something I just feel such great joy in sitting at this age to go, wow, there's a lot of intentionality in things that prepared me for me now at this age.
And I think that you gain wisdom because in your early years, you just have friends because they're around you.
And out of convenience or situational.
Or maybe it's because they're kind of the cool group and you figure you want to be part of them. But now it's like you said, I have a core group of really great friends that I trust. I know they have my back. It takes years to hone that, but also the wisdom to kind of go, this is worth investing in. So I love that.
And I love what you share, Melinda, because when we think of reflection, I think we just, our default is like criticize at like what we could have done differently. And that kind of challenged me because I don't think I've reflected on my 30s and reflected on the things I'm proud of or the things that I need to celebrate. And so I think that's going to prompt me to go back and highlight those things because it's not, we're not like this, these self-improvement machines, you know, there are some things that we did really well. And I think it's important to highlight and celebrate.
Love that.
And it's like what you said, I really love about how you highlighted that, you know, this society is all about like hustle, grind. And if you've ever read the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, one of my favorite spiritual books, he's like, can you imagine Jesus? He was never like, hold on a second, I got to finish this text. Oh, that hummus, you know, drop this. And, he, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he really said he was present, like all the things you said. Like now as I'm growing spiritually, it's be still, go in the wilderness, self-care.
It's good. I love that. And any other thoughts? Like,
well,
are you connecting
with
that?
Walking in here this night, and I was like, your 40s, like, these are good years. It's like, I don't want to repeat the 30s. I mean, 30s are great. Like, you're still finding yourself. But the 40s, there's something about that. And maybe it's just that we get to know each other, get to know ourselves more. I was actually talking to a kindergarten teacher last week, and she said, your true self is like these five-year-olds that are in my class. It's like, you're actually probably more like your 4 or 5 year old self than you realize. And I was like, hold on, I need a journal. I need a reflection moment. I need to go back. What did I like? What was I like? What did I do? Like, there's some questions that I want to ask that 5 year old and see kind of what surfaces, you know, as we're in this stage now. It's wild.
They're just present and they're just being themselves. They're savoring and enjoying life. They're not hustling and bustling. When you're just like white knuckling your way through life, there's no space to pause and reflect on like who you really are, who you what your values are. None of that. You're just doing life.
Also, I'm not stopping. Please hear me out. Like I was like, wait a second.
The hustle is right.
Wait. I'm not done.
This is not the announcement.
What
of
I'm
your
just saying,
retirement.
It's not my thank you. It's not the announcement of my retirement. No. I'm not going anywhere. What I mean though is I think it's just that drive and what motivates me versus what's motivating me now to do what I do.
It's
now
different.
It's legacy. It is. It's legacy.
Yes.
It's impact for the future. It's all of that versus, I think, as I was in my other decades, it was more for my own self of success and mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. So that's why. Mm-hmm. I love these. Okay, mm-hmm. So now we're going to just do a little switch and change up to, what are some of the challenges that we're finding in this decade? Mm-hmm. 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Some are very unique to the decade where we're at within family, our bodies, but what would you say are some of the challenges and how are you navigating the best that you can through those?
I can jump in there because I'm like that sandwich generation of taking care of, my dad has not passed away, but my mom lives with us. And so that in between where I'm taking care of an elderly parent, she would not be happy with me calling her elderly.
I know your mom, you're right.
Older. And I've got teenagers. Yeah. And so you're constantly caring on both sides for all the people that make our world and our family. And sometimes that's really, that is tough. It's really tough because it each has their own challenges, the big emotions of teenagers and all the things that they navigate through big life decision making. I've got a grade 12 and I'm grade 10. And the fact that there are some other challenges with an aging parent and starting to think about things that are, you know, it's unpleasant. It's hard to think of, but it's reality. It's like the circle of life.
It's like you get spread thin because you're caring for so many other people.
Yeah.
That sometimes that might be the season that you lose sight of yourself or your health or your well-being. Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's the caring for others and reminding myself to care for me.
Yeah.
That's really the challenge.
Yeah.
Caring for you. Mm-hmm. So how can you start caring for you?
Oh, that's coming up.
Okay.
That's another episode.
That's the next question. She did not want me to go there. Okay.
That was a great deflection.
I'm really trying. I just don't have the answers.
I know.
But I think, part of the caring for me too is that I have really great friends as well in this season. And so part of it is just sometimes when there is frustration is calling up a friend and going, I just don't actually want answers or I don't need anybody to solve anything. Mm-hmm. I just want somebody to listen and pray for me. Yeah. It is so powerful when you have a friend pray for you.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're pouring, I mean, in my case, I'm pouring out a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's the other way is really refreshing too.
Yes.
That is part of taking care of me.
Yeah.
You know, as you say this, there's a number of friends I know who are challenged with elderly parents who are struggling with, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia. Mm-hmm. And I think the part of that struggle is the loss of what you thought life would be like for yourself and family and for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you'd think that you would have parents, you know, remembering you, remembering your name, knowing you, and they don't. And so I think there's a lot of loss in that part. Mm-hmm. And that is quite a challenge as we get older. You're seeing that more and more of a sandwich generation and you know, whether it's Gen Xers, you know, boomers, you know, working and trying to navigate that time with their parents. Mm-hmm. So I hear you. Mm-hmm. That is a lot. That's a big challenge.
Yeah. And I love what you said, Anne, about reaching out to your friends. Because for me right now, the challenges in my life are pretty ordinary challenges that I've had before and I will have again. But the difference this time is that I'm not trying to do my best. Mm. I am trying to rely on my community. I'm trying to depend on my friends. I'm trying to invite them in the mess so that I'm not walking alone because I know what it's like to walk alone and I don't want that to happen again. Mm-hmm. So that would be the biggest difference for me.
Mm. The
biggest challenge, but difference in how I'm approaching the challenges.
It's also like before we lived in like smaller communities. Mm-hmm. Now we live and we don't even know our neighbors either side. You know, it's kind of it's a sad thing.
Yeah.
But when we lived in communities, we need our neighbor. Mm-hmm. We like they need us and we need them. Mm-hmm. And so we got to lean on each other a little bit more. Now we have to be intentional to do that to do so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What other challenges are we facing in our decades?
Well, I also have teenagers.
The teenagers.
So I'm
adjusting to a few things, right? Like when they were little, I made all of their plans for them. Yeah. They wanted a cuddle good night, and now they're a little bit more independent, right? And so one of the challenges is I find that we're shuttling, like we're in the car night and day, right? We're driving to practice, and then we're studying, and we've got youth group and so forth. But I guess one of the joys in the challenge is we've recently started this thing, this way to connect in our family where you ask each other, what's your how wow pow chow, and it is not a martial arts move. It is four quick questions that gets them kind of talking. How was your day? What was a wow, something that was amazing? What was a pow, something that kind of knocked you down? And chow, of course, it is Egyptians. What was your favorite thing that you ate today? So it's a nice way to connect in the busyness.
That's good. Yeah. That's really
Everybody
good.
Write that down.
Yeah, write it down.
Oh, wow, pow, chow.
Yeah. It's a little song.
Well, I would say for me, even though I really do like myself better, I still struggle being 60 with ageism. And I'm not even talking about the ageism that I would experience out there, because I'm so past that. It's the internal, inner critic. Like, I'm noticing more wrinkles. My body's not losing as much weight. My mind is foggier. And just there's the changes that I'm going through. And just even as I said, there's more self-acceptance. I'm not there yet.
Right.
And I have to let go of trying so hard to hold on to my youth, trying to be relevant. Especially I have adult kids.
Right.
And they're wise and smart and capable, and they have great ideas. They have an understanding of this world that is so nuanced that I don't always understand. So one of the great things is that I'm learning from them, but it's also humbling because I used to tell them what to think.
Sure.
And I can't do that anymore. That's the thing that I struggle with, is like, how can I gracefully age, not see it as a negative that I have to hold on to and fight, but to actually see the value of the experience and the wisdom that I have. And at the same time, my body just can't handle things like I used to. Yeah. And so giving my body grace, not pushing it so hard, but at the same time, I'm going to do everything I can to stay as strong as I can, because I want to be vibrant even as I'm aging. So that would be, for me, still an ongoing challenge for sure.
You know, Mary, I appreciate that, because I would say that's the biggest one for me, is that I think in this age and stage, and that was through my 40s and into my 50s, is the real struggle of perimenopause. Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Was that a change? Like, you at first think, am I depressed? Am I in depression? I'm in deep fatigue, hair is thinning, loss of elasticity in my face, gut weight that I just can't get off, my emotions, poor Chris, my husband, like, what? Whoa, ha, ha. And I'm like, ah! Like, I'm all over the place. Like, I'm trying to figure out myself.
Can you do that again?
But I just,
well, you have to make that
it was a wild roller coaster ride of this perimenopause, of my body changing, my emotions, and trying to figure out how to embrace it, do healthy things, but also know and be gracious to yourself. I have to be kind to myself. Mm-hmm. It seems a lot more on this new season of my life with my body, my mind, and change. Mm-hmm. And you can't fight it in that way, but the challenge has been for me to be more gracious, being honest about that I am not 20. And when you do a cartwheel with a round off in a park to show off to your kids that you're still got it as a cheerleader, and then you are in pain because you didn't stretch for like 5 months of you literally feel like I broke both my legs.
Yeah,
that's the reality,
exactly.
Right? Like, that is absolutely the reality.
Yeah.
So that's one. I think we have now an adult son living at home, and I think parenting adult children is a big challenge.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
And I know a lot of people are going through that, like, kids are coming back home after university. Kids are coming back because rent is very expensive. Mm-hmm. They can't afford to live out, you know, just because of the way the economy is. So what does that look like? As you said, Mary, how to parent your adult child. And, you know, challenges with mental health with our own children, and how to navigate through that. Mm-hmm. And then I think finally just a challenge of, here I am in my 50s. And like I said earlier, the joy of like looking back and celebrating and honoring what I've done, but also, where am I going to be? What am I going to do in 5, 10, 15 years? What does that look like? Mm-hmm. And so I think they're good challenges, but those are real challenges that I'm personally facing, like, in this time. And so I think it's that, you know, having these kinds of conversations to know that you're not alone and you get it, especially with kids, especially with body changing, especially with all of that.
Yeah.
Real stuff.
Yeah.
I know. So thank you. Thank you for letting me sort of like share that as I navigate. And your prayers, you know, I think for all of us as we listen to one another, just praying for each other, mm-hmm. being girlfriends that will, mm-hmm. that will do that. So speaking of next generation mm-hmm. and kids, mm-hmm. as we've talked a lot about legacy, leaving our mark, what we're learning, mm-hmm. what would you say to your kids, to the next generation, as a woman sitting in this decade, mm-hmm. what would you say would be a great lesson of wisdom for them, or something that you'd say, this I think would really help you as you navigate through this life?
Mm-hmm. Can I give advice to both my kids?
Yes.
As well as to parents like myself raising yep. adult kids? So starting with my kids and kids of that generation in their 20s, you know, when I look back at my life, I think about, oh gosh, I wish I knew more what my core values were. So living with a sense of intentionality. Mm-hmm. What are my core values? What really matters? And making sure you spend time, really, instead of just thinking that life's going to go on forever and ever and ever. Mm-hmm. And then the other side of that is just this forever wanting to learn and grow, this personal yeah. development
yes.
and learning through that. So that's the one side. The other side for parents, I think that one of the biggest lessons I learned from my kids is to really learn to trust them, trust their judgment, trust their decision-making, trust that they'll navigate the mistakes that they will make,
yep.
or at least we think they will make, trust that God's got them as well.
Yeah,
so I think that challenge for a lot of kids, adult kids with parents, is there's this tension that arises because we still want to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
And my kids have told me, but Mom, when you do that, it sounds like you don't trust me in my judgment, in my ability to make good decisions yeah. for my own life. Mm-hmm. And that's the last thing that I want to happen. So building the relationship of mutual trust requires letting go. Yeah. And that's hard.
I'm taking that advice.
Good. Yeah.
I might ask you to hold my hand through it.
Good advice, Mary.
So good. So for me, is really about separating your strongest desires and your deepest desires.
Oh,
you know, and so oftentimes we get distracted by our strongest desires. Mm. That can be eating that thing, not binge watching on that show, you know, choosing whether it's even big decisions like career, going to church, mm-hmm. putting a family together, choosing a partner. And really being connected to your deepest desires. And that goes back to your core values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of life do you want to live? What's your purpose? What's your mission? And allowing yourself to make decisions from that place. Mm-hmm. And doing that takes a lot of intentionality. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes we function on autopilot. So when we're on autopilot, yeah. we are going to lean into our strongest desires.
Yeah.
So that That's would really true. Be the biggest thing for me. And then the other fun one is like, be weird. Yeah, like,
yes,
have fun.
Yes,
like,
have fun.
It's so yes. overrated to try to fit in and yes. be like yes. everyone else, yes. you know? And, you know, being the same
so
feels comfortable because it's yeah. automatic approval and belonging yeah. and you feel like I'm part of this group because we're all the same. But in reality, you're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's okay to be weird. It's okay to be different. You will be loved for who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? When you find your people.
Be yeah. weird. That's
be
it.
Weird.
The sticker,
be weird.
The bumper sticker, everything. Yes. Perfect. That's
and your,
great.
And
advice.
Your point about your people is one of the things that I always stress to my kids. One of the things that scares me about this generation is how unconnected they are, right? Mm-hmm. They're on their phones. They're, you know, they're here, they're there. And when we, one time in clinic, we had mandatory training. It was called Assist, and it was offered by CAMH. Yes. And it was, you guys, I'm sure, are familiar with it. It was if you were, we don't do crisis care, but if you were just on the phone with someone who was thinking of, you know, self-harm, you would just be able to kind of grab a few things in conversation till you could get someone more equipped. Yeah. And the big thing that they said, there was one protective factor more than anything, and it was community. Mm-hmm. So imagine
yes.
now if you have yourself in like a church community, people who, like you said, will pray over you, pray with you, put your eyes back on Jesus, help other things. So don't lose hope. God's got you. Mm-hmm. Choose your friends, your circle matters.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Well, we keep talking about the wonder of being human.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think that's advice for the generations younger than us, is you are human.
Mm.
We're human.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see the humanity in each other.
Mm.
And let's celebrate the humanity in each other.
Mm.
Let's be human together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that actually is countercultural to a culture that they've lived in. That is cancel culture. Cancel the things I don't like. Cancel the things, the conversations that if they're unpleasant, then I move on to the next rather than leaning in to the humanness of each other.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my advice.
That's good.
That's great.
So I told you all to bring one thing and I brought five. So here's my five lessons. Sorry. Number one, discover Jesus.
Yeah.
I could not be here without Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
And I say that because I say discover. Like, don't take it from your parents and just because your faith doesn't, relationship doesn't just kind of through osmosis come to you.
Yeah.
But like, do the hard work of like listening, ask the questions, find a church community that works. Like, don't be afraid to talk to God with the questions, calling out, whatever it is. But this idea of really being intentional, young person, of just discovering and finding out who he is. Because he will meet you. And he will meet you in the ways that you don't expect, which is what my life testimony is. And so I would say that. Two, you guys talked about that. Find your people. At a young age, I have friends from 26, 30, 40 years ago. I have a small group of couples that we meet regularly for 20 years. And I started that way back in my 20s and 30s. And so I would say to a young person, find those people and then cultivate and be intentional about the meeting. Because we have been through death and divorces and kid issues and trauma and elderly parents. And we could not, and I could not do this alone without them. And so at a young age, start thinking, praying, God, send me these people, put me in the places. Third thing is stop scrolling. I was watching a really cool show. I won't say the name of the show, but the guy says to the girl, look with your eyes, not with your phone.
Wow.
And actually asked her to be present on this tour of Rome, Roma, and said, stop looking through your phone. Just look and enjoy and be present. And as a young person, I would say, stop scrolling and discover this incredible world that God has created and discover the people, the food, the cultures, all of that. And so I think that's the key one. And then again, like I just said, I think to be present in relationships and be present with yourself and being present with God. I think those are all my points. I'm like, those are them. And I think it's just because, you know, with our kids with us and me thinking now, you know, ahead and you know, in the past, what would I would have wanted to have heard from somebody? And I think those are them. So thank you. Thank you for your thoughts. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and advice and your challenges, your wins and joys. This is how we learn. You know, this is how we know that we're not alone. And this is how we create trust, connection, and belonging. Sharing our stories, sharing ourselves with one another. So thank you. Thank you all. And to you, we here at See, Hear, Love want to be a safe place for you. To share, to grow in your faith, to connect, and to belong. And here's how you can join us.
Join the host of See, Hear, Love, Melinda Estabrooks, as she invites women from across Canada to share their stories and lived experiences, their journeys of faith, their challenges, and wisdom, and to create a place of belonging, community, and where women come together to know they are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God.
Every one of you here is just like a miracle.
It's so important to be with people that encourage you.
Visit our website at seehearlove.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter for even more content.
Are you ready to see God's faithfulness, hear his truth, and love like Jesus? Download your free See, Hear, Love Bible study guides, created for women who long to grow deeper in faith, identity, and purpose. With a variety of inspiring guides to choose from, you'll find real stories, honest conversations, and biblical truth that speaks to your heart. Perfect for personal study or gathering with your small group. Visit seehearlove.com/Bible studies to download today.
And I hope you do join us, and I hope you find joy in whatever stage or age you're in. And our prayer is that through your current struggles, you will lean into Jesus and one another, and you will see your life and choices as a legacy and inspiration for the next generation. You've got this, whether you are in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, or you're older or younger. You can do hard things, good things, courageous things, and kind things, because you are not alone. You are enough. You are worthy, and you are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God. Thanks so much for joining us. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to See, Hear, Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks.
We are able to do See Her Love because of these generous sponsors. Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.